I praise God for His blessings. I have communicated with quite a number of you in the past. And when you didn't have anything, you didn't even hardly have bread to eat, I prayed and God blessed you. God helped you. God furbished and refurbished in your life. And then when you got your tools and you got your equipment and you got your job and you got your businesses, you forgot about God. Even if I get anything from you, a little help from your tools, your what you've got, or you to leave your business or to come over a day or two, some of you mumble and grumble, you and your children, family mumble and grumble, and you don't want to do it, and you feel that you have to do it to have the blessings of God, and you half-heartedly come to do it, and you're not cheerfully doing it. It's a dread and a drawback when God told you that He loveth the cheerful giver. And when He asks you to honor Him with your substance, your body, your mind, your strength, all that you've got, and that He'd furbish and refurbish and bless you in such a great, phenomenal way. But you don't do it. So you're losing out. More and more you're losing out with God. And when you lose out with God, you lose your blessing. You lose your natural health. You lose your natural happiness and peace that's in your home. You lose your financial blessings. You lose everything. You begin to go down, down, down. And some of you are on your way down. Some of you are doing it. And I was telling my wife today, this an individual promised to help me 3 days. And I told my wife exactly what he would do and told some of the brethren. I said, he will do exactly that because that's his nature. And they watched. And they were utterly amazed that out of the 3 days, he did exactly what I said in coming and going. And he came exactly at the times that we spoke of. And it goes back to one thing. Seek ye first your desire and your way and your thing and your family and your pleasures, and you'll wind up in the lake of fire. Isn't that right? That's the way it is. Let's give him a hand, thank you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then you'll be blessed again like you was when you didn't have anything. You know, when you didn't have anything, you had to seek Him to get something. And then when you got something, you started to follow after something and forgot about Him. And soon you'll be back to nothing. Trust my words, it'll come to pass. But it's a good time to seek Him, in that He's blessed you and helped you and held you up. It's a good time to remember Him and to seek Him before you get back down on the bottom again. And then you won't have nothing to do but seek Him. And like the little lad said, it may be too late then. So every man do his own thing. And as Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 26, as snow is in summer. You know, it don't last long in summer. And as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. That is, God doesn't curse anything without a cause, without a reason. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. So, we see that the Lord is telling us what will be and what will not be according to our own ways of doing things. I really believe in this, folks. Perhaps you don't understand. Perhaps you don't believe in it. But I believe in it. I've been in poverty. I've been without any help. I've been without anybody. I've been without anything. I've been at death's door many times. I've been oppressed. I've been cast down. I've been neglected. I've been in terrible conditions, and not one time has He ever failed to lift me up. Not one time. Some of you feel that you've been at death's door, but you haven't. You haven't. You've had a little discomfort and a few pains like that scared the life out of you. But there are some people that has actually been down to the door of death. Real, genuinely down to the door of death. And God has still picked them up. He's still done something for them. And I've been one of those people. So I believe in this. I believe in it because I put it to the test. And I've used it. And I still use it every day of my life. I still make use of it. And if you've never put it to the test, you've never used it, then you need to try it because it works. Somebody says, well, I've tried to believe, Brother Pike. I know I have too. There's been times when I tried to believe and there's been times when I did believe. So some of you try to believe and you don't get anything out of it. But at least you made an effort. But you can try to believe and then there is a way to believe. And there's nothing less than a world, or even a world of difference when you believe and when you try to believe. You can be at death's door and try to believe, and 2 days later you'll still be at death's door if death doesn't overtake you and finishes the job in that time. But you can be at death's door 1 minute and call on the name of the Lord and believe, I mean dying, and immediately within the next minute be healthy, strong, well, and say, oh my God, this ain't possible. But it is, and it works. I've done it. So faith is real. It's so great, and it's so real. It's so wonderful. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and from all iniquity. God hath no pleasure in death. God hath no pleasure in sickness. God hath no pleasure in poverty. But God also hath no pleasure in gossip and backbiting and jealousy and fault finding and hatred and malice and murder and all of these other evil things. He also hath no pleasure in them. So then if we will do God's pleasure in one thing, then we can feel God's pleasure in another thing. Whereas God has been good to a lot of us, people feel like that if a person prays for somebody else and somebody else gets healed from their sickness, that the person that prayed for them, you don't have to worry about that person because they're not going to get sick. You know, because they can pray for somebody else and somebody else gets healed. That means that they're not going to get sick themselves. But that isn't the way it works at all. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Like I said today, some folks feel like that if they do real bad, they're going to get hurt. Or if they don't do right, they're going to get in trouble, which is exactly right. But they feel like if they live for God, nothing won't happen, which is exactly wrong. The rain is on the just and the unjust. And so is the problems to the just and the unjust. And a lot of times the unjust suffers for the just. Or rather the just for the unjust. So, you may be a fine person. You may be a healthy person. But you may have a heart attack and die too. You may be young. You may have a heart attack and die. You may be old. You may have a heart attack and die. See, it's not whether you're a good man or a bad man. You're in the world, and there's pressures, and there's troubles. And you're in the world where there's sicknesses and disease, and there's dangers. You may get killed, like Brother Branham was a good man, but he got killed and broke all to pieces. So, another thing is like a Shambach. It comes to my mind, Shambach. I guess Shambach is one of the greatest preachers and deliverance in the land today, all over the different parts of the world. I read sometimes in magazine, I get a hold of one here and there, and he's way down in South America, he's over in Hawaii, he's having tremendous crusades, but right now, unless he's already come out of surgery, I understand he's in surgery, having open heart surgery. So, you know, a lot of times our evaluation of things is wrong, our speculations get in the way of our revelations, and we need to remember this, that you might be a good person, but you can still have a heart attack. You can still take cancer. Things can still happen to you. As a matter of fact, the devil's after you the more. But you can also remember that you do have an advantage over the world and over the people of the world. And that is, you are a child of God, and you have within your means or reach the ability to believe, to have faith, and to pray and seek God and to build up your faith and to build your body with virtue, that your faith might be strong and powerful, that you might use it as a shield against all of the fiery darts of the wicked, to turn those things around and to stop those things so that you can live and enjoy life, because God hath no pleasure in sickness, poverty, and death. But if you get a little careless and get a little worldly and you forget where your blessings come from, then the first news you know, you'll be in poverty. When you forget that God rules in the affairs of men and you rule him out and you just go your way, the first thing you know, there'll be sickness, there'll be sorrow, there'll be problems in your home. Your wife will be gone one way, you'll be gone another way. The children will be, something will be wrong with them, or there'll be a wreck, or something will happen because you forgot God. The Bible says that my hand is not short, that it cannot reach thee. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at, how much you've stumbled, what kind of problem you've got, how much sickness and poverty you're in, how many bills you owe, God's hand just reaches down just like that, like it's overnight, and it's all gone. But see, he said, my hand is not short, or my arm is not short, that I cannot reach thee. You're not out of my hand reach or arm reach. He said, I can reach you, but he said, your iniquities has separated between thee and thy God, and hath kept thee back from good things. That is, because you got careless, because you wandered away from God's word, you didn't exercise your faith, you didn't practice virtue. As the Bible said, think on things that have virtue in them. You didn't do that, you just wandered away, got careless, got interested in worldly things, got interested in your own way. You know, the Bible said you can tell the backslider, because the backslider be filled with his own way. If you want to see a person that's backslid, as we term it, then look for a person that's filled with their own way. I don't care what you tell them, they're going to do what they want to do. They're going to go their own way. They've got their own life mapped out. They've got their own program. They've got their own doings, and they don't incorporate Christ within their life or lifestyle at all. No matter what you tell them, they're going to do their own thing. The Bible says that's the backslider. If they have known God, and if they've come to God, once understood God. See, they're filled with their own way. They've got their own little business. They've got their own little program. They've got their own little income. They've got their own little way of doing things, their own little budget, you know, and they drop in the pennies for God, and the rest of it is they have to have it for their budget. They don't bother their budget at all to make a sacrifice to give unto God. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody forget about their budget and give something to God? Wouldn't it be nice if you'd forget about your budget? After a while, God won't let you have a budget. He won't let you have anything for a budget. If you keep on, you budget him clear out of your life. You budget him out with your finance, and you budget him out with your everyday doings, with your details of life. You budget God out. You always budget God out. Like the songwriter said, a program that's so well planned that it leaves out his part. But it might be good, like a young fellow was telling me today or yesterday, I can't remember. I said something to him about life, the things of life. He said, you know, Brother Pike, he said, I've just decided to start my life all over. He's met a problem. He went the wrong way. He lost out in life. And he said, I don't want nothing. So I've just, the way he told me, give up everything just to go back and start all over again. Might be good sometimes, like Jacob, if we could go back to Bethel. Go back where we made our vows to God. Go back where we made our promises to God. Go back to where we anointed the pillar, where the vision of God came to us and the visitation of God came to us. It might be good if we could all just go back there and think things over and renew our faith and covenant in God and forget about the gullible desires of life and the flesh and all of our plans and programs and what we're planning to do. It might be good just to go back and say, God, I'm counseling all my plans and reservations. And I just come back to ask you to program my mind to tell me what your will and desire is. And let me start from there. I think it'd be a lot better.
Amen.
A lot better. All right, I want to read chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule with him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but that thrills me. That really thrills my heart. So he said, the youth shall faint. You know, you might be young, and you might be healthy, as we say, and you might do everything that the health books call for. Everything. But he said, when you're finished, you'll faint. Young men's hearts shall fail them for fear of looking after those things that's to come upon the earth. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He said, let the weak say that I'm strong. Be strong in the power of my might, he said. Someone would say, well, how can you do that, Brother Pike? Well, it's like the man at the gate called Beautiful. The Bible said when Peter spoke to him in the name of the Lord, took his hand, that he immediately felt strength. From somewhere, a supernatural strength came into his ankle bones, into his body, and he was able to stand and walk. Strength. And like Samson, when the lion run out at Samson and roared, Samson was a man just like I'm a man. He was just a natural man just like I'm a man. But when that lion run out and roared at him, something come on him. And instead of running and getting scared, instead of having a heart attack, he went after that fellow and just reached over and got him like that. And the Bible said rent him like he'd been a little bitty goat, like he would a kid. Just rent him, just tore him up, just like a strong, healthy man might take a little old bitty goat out here, a little tiny baby goat, and just break him all to pieces. Said Samson just reached and got him like that. When he did, he brought him back and just rent him like that. And then when he come back later, he went over and looked in the carcass and found out the bees had went in there and made honey, and he got him some honey out and made him a riddle and a rhyme. So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Samson, when he had problems, all of a sudden he reached and got the jawbone of an ass and slayed 1,000 men. Jephthah, others, different ones, great and mighty men. Though they were just common men, one picked up an ox gourd and killed about 700 men with it at one time. See, there's no way that you could have that kind of strength. There ain't no way. See, you could be the most healthy person in the world, but you couldn't kill 300 men without wearing yourself out. If those men offered any resistance, even if you killed them, even if you had a ball bat, by the time you got through, you'd literally be wore out if you could do it. See, but when the supernatural strength of God comes, that's when everything goes well. That's when the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. That is, their strength might seem to be ebbing away, and all of a sudden they'll just reach out there and they'll get a strength, and that strength will start coming into their body, and they'll say, oh my God, I feel healthy, I feel strong. And they'll renew their strength, and the Bible said they'll mount up with wings like eagle. You know, eagles are big and powerful. There's some eagles that's so big, so huge, that the wingspan goes out for numbers of feet. And them big fellas can swoop down into a valley and just pick up a calf or something, just pick that thing up, and with them great, big old powerful wings, flap them things a few times and sail off into the rocks, into the mountains, and have a good dinner. Not too long ago, in a place where Betty and I went, down near the equator, down in South America, the papers carried the article that a great, huge eagle just swept down and picked up a little baby, took the little child away into the mountains, and as far as we know, they never recovered, they never found it. See the strong, powerful wings of the eagle. They shall renew their strength as the eagle. The eagle has a way of renewing its strength. It has an ability to renew its strength. When it seems to be growing old, it can still renew its strength. And it is said that the eagle can get up into the rocks and take its head and just beat its head on a rock. Just keep beating it till it's bloody and burst the crust that's on the head up here that seems to have to do something with the aging of the eagle. Whatever it is, he'll just beat his head on that rock until he bursts the crust off and then stretches them mighty wings and he's off again with great strength. He renews his youth. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're able to renew their youth, not only just here in this life. We're able to do that here in this life. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. But it works anyway. Whether you believe it or not, it works anyway. It doesn't work for you because you're an unbeliever. But it works for me. It works for them that believe. Them that believe God, it works for them. It's real, genuine. You know, you can be weary. You can be weary like Esau was when he met Jacob over there and he sold his birthright. Jacob said, give me the birthright. Esau said, give me the pottage. Said, what good is the birthright to me? I'm about to faint. I'm losing my strength. I've been out hunting. And he got the birthright. See, there he renewed his strength by taking the pottage, eating the pottage. See, he renewed his strength. He was faint. And he renewed his strength. Meals, eating a meal, drinking a glass of milk, having a good meal renews the strength when you're just about gone. And that's the way it is with God. You go to God and you say, Heavenly Father, I need strength. Heavenly Father, I need healing. Don't go make-believe. You can't go make-believe, you know. But you go in there and you're just as sincere as you can be. You just fall down prostrate before God. And you say, oh my God, help me God. I believe. You start believing. The Bible said when you pray, you must believe. See, just praying is not good enough. Trying to believe is not good enough. When you pray, then believe. See, if the Word says it, believe it. If God doesn't have any pleasure in death, why don't I believe that? See, I believe that. If God doesn't have any pleasure in poverty, why don't I believe that? I do. See, if God doesn't have any pleasure in the loss of your life and the loss of your health and the loss of your strength, if God doesn't have any pleasure in that, then the question arises, what does God have pleasure in? God has pleasure in this. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundant. This is what I have pleasure in. I'm the Prince of Life. I'm the reservoir of life. I'm the source of life. The fullness of God, the eternal Spirit, the fountain of life, dwells in me. I'm the Prince of Life, he said, and I've come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the word abundantly means filled up and overflowing. See, my cup overflows. When your cup overflows, somebody else gets a drink of it. You're not making believe. You really, genuinely go to God and you pray and you believe. So then what does God have pleasure in? He said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Everything that pertains unto life, I've given it to you. Now, isn't that something? Everything that pertains unto life, he's given to me. Let's give him a hand. I said, everything that pertains unto life, he's given it to me. And he's not only given me everything that pertains unto life, but he's given me that in an abundance, which means filled up and overflowing. I not only want you to have life, Jesus said, but I want you to have it filled up and overflowing. Life abundantly. Life that you can share with others. Jesus said, I have so much life that I give life to others. Everyone that cometh to me, I give them life. And I don't give them a source of life that will soon be exhausted. I give them a life that is an endless life. I give them eternal life. He stood at the well and the woman said something to him about water. He said, woman, if you had asked of me, I would have given you water that you would not have to come to this well to draw. I would give you water that would be a well of water springing up within you into everlasting life. For the Bible said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's what I like. I like that. I'm not carrying on a religious affair. I'm not carrying on some religious ritualistics. I'm not trying to conform to something that's just a ritualistic that makes me weary. I go to church, I ritualistically come and I conform to more ritualistics and I learn more ritualistics about the Bible. You know, I'm not trying to do that. I see people that's weary with what they call Christianity. I'm not surprised that they're weariness. I'm not surprised that they should be weary with the ritualistics they have of going to church, and they never have any joy of salvation. They never have any joy of Christian living. They never have any abundance of life. They never have any inspiration as to the wonderful things of God. I'm not surprised that they don't do anything for God. You can't get them out to nail a nail, to saw a board, to dig a ditch. You can't get their minds on anything but the gullible desires of the world. I'm not surprised that they don't have any vision for God. I'm not surprised because they've never become acquainted with God. They've never met God. They are in a religious ritualistic. They are in a religion of formality. And they don't have any joy, and they don't have any vision, and they don't have any strength, and they don't have that life bubbling up. They're just dying. They're just dying, just like the sun that would draw the water out of something, and it just dries up, it withers up, it busts open, it cracks open. See, they're dying because they don't have this water of life. They've never come to this well. They've never met this great Messiah. They've never met the one that the woman at the well met. They've never heard the words of eternal life. They've never known this wonderful thing that God has pleasure in. What is it that God has pleasure in? God has pleasure in health. God has pleasure in joy. God has pleasure in strength. God has pleasure in happiness. God has pleasure in your prosperity and you having plenty, more than enough. You know, I used to hear this when I was coming up. I've heard this numbers of times, and people back that then, they really believe this. I'm sure Brother Cobbs have heard this. They said, you're supposed to be satisfied with what you got because God didn't promise you nothing but bread and water. And I thought that, you know, all down through my early life, as a real young fellow, I thought, well, if you happen to get an ice cream or a milkshake, you know, that's extra special because you really didn't promise me nothing but bread and water. And the more I got to tasting the milkshake and ice cream and the good things of life, I got to thinking, well, maybe I could get a little more of that. He didn't promise it to me, but maybe there's some way I could get a little more of that. And then the more I prayed and began to know God and study the Word, I thought, my lands, He don't care if I have a whole freezer full of ice cream. As a matter of fact, He wouldn't care if I had a banquet and invited all my neighbors and had enough ice cream and cake and all that for them too. And He wouldn't care if I had. I thought, well, Brother Pike, you know, just be satisfied. You've got a little income now. You know, it'll take care of you. You've got your bread and water and you a little bit on the side. Be grateful, Brother Pike. Be grateful. And I was. You know, but I thought, don't get too much now, because if you get too much, you'll die and go to hell. Remember that. You can't have too much. Now, to get $1,000, of course, back then $1,000 was a lot of money. To get $1,000, you might as well to hang it up and rack it up, because you was doomed for hell. You'd done got with the rich, and the rich was going to hell. You know, and when I finally growed up in God, I said, my dear God, you don't care if I have millions and millions and millions of dollars. See, what you're concerned about is what I do with millions of dollars. Oh, somebody said, you know, God, we never want you to have that. Well, what has God done with so many millions? Let's give Him a hand. He got more millions than anybody I know of. He said, all the gold is mine and all the silver is mine. The cattle of 1,000 hills is mine. And all these other things is mine. And I thought about Abraham. I said, well, my land, there was Abraham. He looked like he must have had a whole trunk full of jewels and whatever. And when he sent for his daughter-in-law, he said, take these things down there, and he stuck them in her ears and they put them on her arms, and she was all jeweled up and ready to come to be the bride of Isaac. Isn't that right? And they said, why, Abraham, you're a great prince among us. Oh, somebody said, well, I thought we could do that anyway, Brother Pike. You know, the next time I look, I'm liable to see him hanging in your ears. But nevertheless, see, God did that. Why did the man put the ring on the finger of the prodigal son? Somebody says, see, Brother Pike, I knew it was there all the time. We were all the jury we want to. Well, we might have a talk about that sometime. But anyway, I'm just saying that God doesn't care. He doesn't care how rich you are. He wants you to be rich. He said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He makes you rich naturally. He makes you rich spiritually. He makes you rich physically. He makes you rich in your body, in your human chemistry. He makes you rich. He gives you help. He makes you rich in the financial prosperities of the world. He makes you rich in spiritual revenues from heaven. God makes you rich. I preach a lot of times on the threefold blessing of God. God maketh rich. And you know the good thing about God? Someone would say, well, I can get rich anyway. I know people that's got rich. I know you can. The world makes rich. You know you can manipulate here and cheat a little bit here and run your price up a little bit here and go thieve somebody over here and get something out of their hand that's worth $1,000 and give them 15 cents for it. You can talk them out of it. You can do all kinds of things. See, the world maketh rich, but the world brings about sorrow. You can get rich, but you also will get the sorrow. Like the man that was the servant of the great prophet of the Old Testament. There, when he run after Naaman, when he went after the riches, when he went after the gold, when he went after the silver, he didn't honor his master. His master wouldn't take it. But here goes Gehazi. See, when you run after the world, then the prophet said, sure, you can have it. You know, he's standing here, he thinks, well, now wait a minute. All these beautiful clothing that he brought over here, that when the prophet healed him, that we could have all these things, and me and the prophet's running around, and we ain't got too much. You know, we just kind of make out. And here all these riches is, and God sent them to our door. Surely we must go after these things. And so when the prophet didn't get them, he went down the trail. He said, see here. You know, he might not want them, but I want them. And so he got them. And then he came back to the prophet, and the prophet said, why did you run after this man? Why did you go running after the world? Why did you go running after the world? Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, he said, yes, 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 you did. He said, you did it. You know, God's revealed it to him. He said, you got what you wanted. He said, but the thing is, the man that brought that had leprosy, and now that you've got it, you've also got the plague. You've also got the curse. You've also got the leprosy. So the world can make you rich. You can run after the world, and the world can make you rich. And you can manipulate here and shuffle things around a little bit over here, and you can get all of those things, but the world also adds sorrow. The world also brings much sorrow, but the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The world maketh rich, and then Solomon said, whom shall I leave these riches to? Who knows but what I will leave them to a fool? By wisdom I've gotten them, but who knows but what I'll leave them to a fool, because he knew he had to die. But see, when you get the wealth of God, you don't have to die. You can have the riches, the great, wonderful riches of this world. God said, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. And you can have all of these things, all of these glories, all of these prestiges, all of these mighty things that God has given, and not lose a one of them. Put them to the exchanges, use them for God, live a glorious life, have all of these blessings, and just slip right over the bridge on the other side and keep on enjoying them 10 times 10 in a manifold way throughout eternity. Just go right on living the fullness of life here, enjoying the fullness of life here. And after a while, like it was in the days of Jacob, when he called the children in and gave them the blessings and said goodbye, you know, I'll see you on the other side. I'll meet you in the morning, the songwriter said. So it's so wonderful to be a Christian. Reading the scripture tonight, I thought, comfort ye. My people. What does God have pleasure in? How can I comfort the people of God? I can comfort them by Calvary. Because he said, tell Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished. She don't have to fight anymore. All she's got to do is enter into my rest. Someday it'll be revealed to Jerusalem. But right now we're the true Jew. And it's being revealed to us. We don't have any warfare. Christ has conquered the devil. Christ has overthrown the kingdom and principalities of evil. The kingdom of Satan. He has done away with all of those things of death and sickness and poverty and all of those kind of things. And this prophecy from Isaiah many hundreds of years ago, this prophecy is saying your warfare is accomplished. Now then, cry Cry, he said, a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Cry. See, he's speaking of the coming of John the Baptist, which came in the spirit of Elijah. And he says, cry. You know that the warfare is now accomplished. Everything is ready. Calvary's here. We're free by Calvary. We're free by the works of the Lord Jesus. We're free from the law of sin and death. You know, I'm saved. I would say to Brother Taylor, I would say, Brother Taylor, are you saved? Brother Taylor would say, well, sure I'm saved. I'd say, saved from what? He'd say, from sin. What are you saved from? I'd say, well, Brother Taylor, I'm saved from death. He saved me from death. That's what he saved me from. So then salvation is salvation that saves from death. The whole thing is being saved from death because it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. And when you get saved, it means you've been saved from death. You pass from death unto life. You may go to sleep in your body, but you don't go to sleep in your spirit. That is, you don't die in your spirit. You don't die in your spirit. See, you pass from death unto life. Just like from the garden, you pass from life unto death. Through the fall of the first man, Adam, you pass from death unto life through the resurrection of the second man, Adam. So then I pass from death. I pass from death unto life. I'm saved from death. I'm saved from death. But we preach that you're saved from your sins because the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So he saved us from our sins. That is, he saved us from death. He fixed it to where we are born of God and we cannot sin, therefore we cannot die. So what he saved us from was death. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely sin. He said in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he came to be a savior for us, to save us from death, to do away with death. And so he had to taste death for every man. He had to die. He had to die to take away death. And the only way that he could take away death and save me from death was to do away with my sin that I had sinned through my first birth, as to be partakers of the sins of the first man, Adam. So by one man, sin and death upon all the world. By one man, Christ Jesus, there is no more sin. There is no more death. Isn't that wonderful? There is no more sin and there is no more death just by one man. Your warfare is accomplished, Israel. All of the things that you desire, you now have. How can I have these, Brother Pike? By faith. By faith. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. By faith, all of the nations are as nothing to me, less than nothing to me. But through my grace, through my love, through my concern, I've made you something. I've made you sons and daughters of God. If you'll believe, I've made you something in the sight of God. I've made you gods. I've made you eternal. I've given you the desires of your heart. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You can't sin because you're born of God. The devil never touches you. You keep yourself and the evil one touches you not. Why are you cast down? He said, why is it that you condemn yourself over that which you allow? Happy is he that does not condemn himself over that which he allow. That is, he's got faith in God. He believes that what Jesus did was for him. Though he be weak in the natural, yet he's strong by confession of the words of the high priest of our confession. Whatever I confess in my heart through faith, and I believe that, that's what I have. Somebody says, but I can't see that. Well, it works anyway. Whatever you can confess with your heart, the Bible said with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and confession unto salvation is made with the lips. For what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. I believe my way unto salvation, or that is the finished works of Christ as to the benefits to me, and I make a confession of it, therefore I have overcome the evil one by faith. By faith in God, or the confession of my faith, or I have overcome by the words of my testimony. I've overcome by the words of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb, or that That is to say, I confess the blood of the Lamb, that it was the application for life for me, in that the blood is in the life, our life in the blood. I now have that within me. I now have that life on the inside because I have royal blood. So then, comfort ye my people. For the warfare is over, the problems is over, the oppression is over, all the sickness is over, the poverty is over, the sorrow is over, all the trouble is gone, it's past, death is no more. We're now those that dwell in heaven. We are those that have passed from death unto life. We are those that are God's. But he said, you're going to die like men. You're going to keep dying like men. Though I have no pleasure in it, but because of the lack of knowledge. Because you don't know my pleasure is in joy. And my pleasure is in your happiness. And my pleasure is in your strength. And my pleasure is to you. That you might have the abundance of living filled up and overflowing. And that from me, the Prince of Life. That is to say, I'm the fountain that's open in the house of David. It's my blood that was shed. Come, he that doesn't have any money, let him come. Let anyone come and freely partake of the waters of life. So then comfort ye my people. Calvary's come. We're now dwelling in heaven. We're now God. We pass from death unto life. But if we don't know that, if we do hear and don't believe, or if we do hear and we don't understand, when we're still in the same condition that we was before, if we hear those things and then go back to the beggarly elements of the world, to be in bondage to the human reasoning and the human mind, or the satanic mind that seeks the things of the world, that loves the things of the world, if we go back to the gullible side of life, to the passions of life, to the cravings of life, and those things that pertain unto the world, that is life in the world, then we lose everything. But if we go to God and seek after God, we get life in that abundantly. And because we live eternally, then everything belongs to us. Because I've said this so many times, the man that lives outlives the other is the man that inherits whatever the other man has. See, if everybody died but one man, then who would own it all? The one man. And that's what happened at Calvary. Every one of them sinned. All of them went their way. And God had to destroy all of them, and all of them died in his sight. So Jesus was the one man that inherited all things. And now the only way I can have anything is through the Lord Jesus, or coming to the Lord Jesus. The allegoric type is given to us very clearly down in Egypt. Down in Egypt, when Joseph was rejected by the brethren, and then God raised him up as the number one man, gave him the mind of God, the understanding, told him about the famine, gave him all of the wealth, and eventually Joseph owned everything. He owned everything, all of the properties of the people and whatever. And all had to come to Joseph so that they could live and keep their families alive. See, that's the way it is with Jesus. Calvary is here. Calvary is here. He owns everything. You're going to have to come to him. If you want anything, you're going to have to come to him. If you go out into the world, you're going to die. If you go out into the world, you're going to die. Everything is going to perish. Everything is going to pass away. No one but God, that is as Jesus, is going to be exalted in that day. So the beauty is that Calvary is come, and I am partakers of the benefits of Calvary. I can have faith in God, and I believe in God. But you perish because you don't have the knowledge of God. Did you know that if I don't have the knowledge of God, you know what that means? Knowledge means to know. If I don't have the know of God, that is to know that he is love, to know that he cares, to know that he's concerned, to know that he died, not through a ritualistic, but for me, that I might have the blood application and the life of his blood, to know that he did all of these things to come that I might have life, overflowing, filled up more abundantly, to know that I am the predestinated of God, to know that I cannot sin, to know that I pass from death unto life, to know that I am a God, to know that he's chosen me out of the flesh and hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, to know that I can't sin, that I keep myself, that the evil one toucheth me not, that he hath made me without spot and without blemish to the presence of his heavenly Father, to know and to know and to know that his blessings makes me rich and adds no sorrow, that I will be like a tree that's planted by the waters, that I'll bring forth my fruit in my season, my leaves will not wither, to know that he'll make me to ride upon the high places of the earth if I delight myself in him, to know that I am as he is, so am I in him. And on to know the knowledge of God. And ye shall perish from the lack of knowing, from the lack of knowledge. Because faith comes by the hearing of the knowing, of the knowing. That is, faith comes by the utterance of God, as through the ministry of wherever, and words are spoken, and by hearing of those words, of that knowledge or the knowing of him that spoke, then you take on faith. And with faith, as to believing with the heart unto righteousness, the confession is made, and him being the high priest of my confession, I can have whatever I want. In my heart, I believe from my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. And when I really believe in my heart, not make believe with my head and my human senses, but really believe in my heart, and then I confess it, it doesn't matter what it is, it's got to come to pass. It can't be altered. It can't be changed. I've got to have it face value, just exactly like I believe it, just exactly like I confess it. Jesus constantly, as he walked the earth, he said, if thou canst believe, O Lord, they said, have mercy on me. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And sometimes one would be dead and the parents would be pleaded. Somebody would say, it's too late. The child's dead. The person's dead. Jesus said, fear not, just believe. It doesn't make any difference about that. What's death got to do with it? See, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I have power. All power in heaven and earth is given to me. Just keep on believing. It doesn't matter if somebody's dead. It doesn't matter if somebody has cancer. It doesn't matter if somebody's dying. Somebody's got some kind of disease. That doesn't matter. Your nerves is going all to pieces on you. You think you're losing your mind. That doesn't matter. What's that got to do with it? He said, just have faith. Have faith. Keep on believing. Doesn't matter. Oh, somebody said, but I've tried to believe. It just don't work. No, I didn't say that it would work in trying to believe. I haven't preached that. I said, when you believe and have faith, when you have faith in God, Jesus said, have faith in God, for all things are possible unto them that believe. Even when Sarah laughed, he said, why did you laugh? The angel said, why did you laugh? Is there anything too hard for God? Why do you laugh, folks? Why do you mock? Why do you do those things? To lightly esteem means to mock. Why do you mock God? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're lighthearted, you esteem what I say lighthearted, in a lighthearted way. And you don't incorporate it within your heart and say, my God, them's the words of God. Them's God's words. I can't think like this. See, if you don't snap out of that and stop that mockery, and say, my God, it's not Brother Pike speaking to me, but the Bible said it wouldn't be the minister to be the Heavenly Father. And all of them be taught of God. This is God Almighty telling me of His Word. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, don't exaggerate. We know you. You're the carpenter's son, they said. Well, you live down at the bottom of the hill, Brother Pike. We've been here with you all the time. Jesus said, well, who do men say that I am? Who do you think I am? Well, you live at the bottom of the hill. There's one thing about it. When you hear, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe. Oh, but you can't do that, Brother Pike. We can't do that. I didn't say I could. I didn't say that you could. I said that he's already done it. And I believe it. And because I believe it, it happens. It happens. Like I was telling somebody today. I believe in the men's meeting, they pledged $900, was it, or something, and they gave $500 or something. Is that about right? A little bit less than that. I was just talking today, was talking about how that they carry this work. Carry this work. And some of them around here, you know, live on the campground. They wonder about it. You know, I know. Carry this work. I said, well, in the last few days that I know of, Stevie was standing there talking with me. We just speculated. And Stevie said, well, I can count $4,500 you give away already in the last few days. In the last few days. And outside of that, you would be shocked. Outside of that, you'd be shocked. And then besides that, we've got to have the money for our tickets. We've got to have the money for them. Oh, well, no, he'll work a miracle. I asked him to work a miracle, and he's worked miracle after miracle. Oh, you could never do that. Well, it might interest you to know that I've already got it. Let's give him a hand. Oh. Somebody says, where do you get all that money? Well, it's like the little boy with his fishes and the loaves. When Jesus gave him the fishes and the loaves, that is to the disciples, he said, break and feed the people. Did you know that them disciples were so blind that as they broke them little fishes, that they fed 5,000 people, and in some cases they fed them, and the number was of just men and not counting the women and children. And he broke, and they broke, and they broke, and they broke, and finally said, all of them's fed, Lord. Never did stop to think that it wasn't possible to feed more than a dozen of them, if that many. And yet they kept breaking that little fish, breaking that little fish, breaking that little fish, breaking that little fish, until 5,000 people had been fed. And on one occasion where he was feeding them, he said, go gather the fragments. So they took their baskets and they filled them up and come back with about 12. They still never did understand. Never did understand that they had fed 5,000 people with that little bit that the little boy had given. The brethren had fed 5,000 people because God had magnified the fishes and the loaves and took up how many times more in the fragments did they take up than they had to begin with. Went on down the trail, praising God. And after a while they said, we're hungry. Jesus said, well, don't worry about that. It'll be all right. No, we're hungry. You know, what are we going to do? Ain't nothing out here. And he looked at him as if to say, are you so blind that you fed all of them people and you don't realize what you've done? Said, have you forgotten the 4,000 and the 5,000 that I fed with them? He said, have you forgotten that? Don't you? You still don't understand, he said. And then it began to dawn on them what they had done. You know, that's the way the people of Bethlehem are. It don't dawn on them what God has done. It don't dawn on them what God is doing. It don't dawn on them. We don't peddle peanut brittle. Let's give him a hand. I said, we don't sell records and we don't sell Bibles. And we don't sell magazines. We trust God. Oh, somebody said, well, I hear you down there, Brother Pike. Right there at that meeting, you tell the brethren they're supposed to do something for God. I know, and we've done something. $500. Let's give him a hand. See, don't you see how blind you can be? You're not supposed to try to figure it out. I'm not supposed to try to figure it out. I say, oh, Lord, I'm so sick. I know you can heal me. It might be vitamin E or vitamin A, or it might be, I don't know what it'll be. I might have to take a dose of whatever I can get a hold of, but I know you'll do it. Or if I can get to the hospital, I know you'll heal me, Lord. I know you will. I don't know what the physician's name is, but I know you'll heal me. Come on, folks. Let's snap out of it. Let's give God a hand. The Bible said, cursed is he that goeth down to Egypt for his help, and he that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. Somebody said, hallelujah, I knew I could retire and didn't have to work anyway, you hypocrite. Let's give him another hand. If you was a God-fearing person, you'd believe God. And the Bible says in believing God that if you don't work, neither shall you eat. Somebody said, well, why should I work? So you can stay healthy. Let's give him another hand. When people don't do anything, they sit around and rot. All right. So I said, I just don't understand you. You look like you're going this way and then you're going that way. I'm going one way, and that's the way the Bible says. Nothing confusing about it all. All of his paths are peace. All of his paths are peace. If some of you young men and young women here wasn't so lazy, you could pay your bills, have a good name where the Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You wouldn't be a reproach. You wouldn't have something down on you all the time. But you're figuring out, you're trying to figure out how to get along without working, without making a living, and just leeching from one place to another, hitting everybody you can, giving a soft touch over here and a soft touch over there, or pulling some kind of bill or finagling something out of somebody's hand, you know, and getting something for $5 and swelling it up to about $50 and making your little trade and a little deal over here, and you're dying, you're rotten, and your body's literally rotten, and you're dying because you won't take just a few minutes to... Somebody said, but every time I pick up a pick, Brother Pike, and a shovel, I can't hardly stand it. I know it, because you don't never do nothing. Have you ever laid down on the bed, ever got sick and stayed there about a week, and you got up and you're so weak you can't hardly stand it? Somebody said, well, I seen that other fella. His muscles are big, you know, and he just looks healthy. I know he climbed the ladder every day. He's stretching out. He's painting. He's toting things around. He's digging. He's lifting steel. He's lifting weights. You ain't doing nothing. Just getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And you're just almost, I've seen people so fat that it was just like a tub of lard. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. It was just, the fluids was so just like a tub of lard. And who was it that told me today? A man, 125 pounds, I hope I got this right, carries within the average day, in his average stride, 400 tons, is it? My lands, think what you and I carry around. If a man 125 pounds carries 400 tons, somebody said, my feet hurt, it's no wonder. Let's give the Lord a hand. So, comfort ye my people. I just get off on those little trails and run off over there to stop the foxes, you know, from spoiling the vines. Because I say something good about the Word of God, and that old devil jumps up and says, this is my chance, this is my chance. He said, I wouldn't have to work no more. You know, I don't have to do this no more. God's took care of every bit of it. You know, all I got to do is believe. I just believe, and that's all it is to it. I can retire. And they say, I've entered into his rest. I ain't going to worry no more. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. Watch television and go to the ball games and do whatever. You know, Satan is like that. Satan said, why don't you jump off of here? You know, he could have said, look, jump off of here. And just think, if you would do that, everybody would know you was the Messiah. Just jump off of here. You know. He'd say, Brother Taylor, Brother Pike, just jump off of this house here. Everybody would know you something then. And we'd jump off and we'd splatter. You understand what I'm saying? He used to have a little thing called Humpty Dumpty. If Jesus had listened to Satan, it would have killed him. Oh, somebody said it wouldn't have killed the Lord. Oh, yes, it would have killed the Lord. If it had jumped off him there, he was a human being. It would have had to have taken the divine act of God to save his life. Oh, somebody said, well, God would have saved him. How could God save him when he had obeyed the devil? He wouldn't have been the Son of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. God couldn't have saved him. The thing that saved him was his faith in God. When Satan quoted the word, tried to pull that little deal and misuse the word. See, and the Bible said they changed the word of God into a lie. You take the word of God and you use it for your fleshly desire and for your gullible self. You've changed the word of God into a lie. You don't need to do that. So I'm not preaching the Word of God for you to do that. Even though I admit that the Word of God, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes, but I admit that the Word of God is of such that God has taken Jesus and spilt or given His blood, is the word to say, to take away the sins of the world. And even at this present moment, that those that are murdering, those that are out yonder in the world, that stealing, the thieving, and those that are ravishing the people of the earth, the blood still covers them, and the blood still gives them protection, as I said concerning Judas when he obtained part of that ministry. Though by predestination he was a devil. But because they're undeveloped, they're in the human era of it as of now, and have never come into the knowledge of it that it might become sin to them, that the devil might take them over or enter into them as it was with Judas. See, they're still in the grace era. That is, they're still being born and growing and learning and developing. So the blood continues to protect them. See, but in all reality, one day they're going to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then it's going to be sin. And so the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The blood will be lifted. It'll be taken off of the seat of atonement. And then the wrath of God will be turned loose on those people. During this time, we work. We put works with our faith that we might do the works of God. For the child is known by his doing. To hear the word of God and to honor the word of God and to do the word of God. And to be one that practices the ways and understanding of God. As the writer said, to show your faith by your works. And of course, I preached to you as differentiating between faith unto salvation as Christ is faith. And faith that is of your faith as that which requires works. So then Calvary's here. We have everything that we could wish for. Everything that we could want. As I say, don't get the idea just because you are a Christian that you can't have a heart attack or get run over. Or take some kind of dreadful disease, because you can. But if you'll listen to the minister, listen to the word of God, you have something that the world doesn't have. And that is the option of faith. You have the ability to believe because you are a child of God. Taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me tell you something in closing, folks. The church today is a defeated people. They are a defeated people. Oh no, somebody says. Oh yes, look around you and see. Everybody is sick. Just about everybody, and especially those in the churches. For many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why is the church like that? Why is the church cast down? Why is the church on the other side of the track, so to speak, so far as faith? They're not on the other side of the track so far as prosperity in the world today. They've moved over the tracks. But when they were on the other side of the tracks, they had more God than they have on this side of the track. They had more power with God. Why is that? Because they exchanged it. They done away with it. They done away with the blessings of God in life to obtain the riches of the world. Like someone said one time, the Pope or someone made the statement, said we cannot say as Peter did, that we don't have any gold or silver. I think they said $56 billion. They published a few days ago. This is their what they have. And somebody says, no, and you can't say as Peter, rise up and walk in the name of the Lord. So see, they've traded their blessings and their birthright for a morsel of bread. Judas, a little business. Just give me a little business, someone would say. And they forget all about God. Business-minded, not Christ-minded. Let this mind be in you that's also in the world. Be business-minded, someone says. But God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and his blessing will make you rich, and all of these other things will be added unto you, and you won't have any sorrow with it. All right, coming to a close, I'm just saying this. Why is the church so defeated? Because it is so intellectual, it is so educational, it is so wealthy. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said the last generation be high-minded, didn't it? Didn't it say that? And said they'd ever be learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. Didn't it say the Laodicean church age was rich? Said, you say that you're rich, have need of nothing. Look at our ball teams and look at our buildings and look at our grounds and campgrounds and whatever. Look at our blessings. You know, we're uptown. We're dignitaries. Some of us are senators and presidents and whatever. See, Laodicea, lukewarm. Said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You say that you're rich and have need of nothing. But God didn't look at it like that. Folks, you're not rich. Just because you're prospering, the Bible said, don't think that you're in the blessings of God. Because you have prosperity, somebody says, well, I know God is blessing me because I'm prospering. That other fellow don't have what I have. His income ain't like mine. You may be on your way to hell. You could be the very fellow or the woman that's on your way to hell, because God may be paying you off for anything that you've ever done. He may be paying you off. That may be your reward. He said in that day, I'll say that you've had your reward. You know, the things of this life, the things of the world. I'll say that you've already had yours. He may be paying you off. Isn't that right? So don't suppose that worldly gain is godliness. He said, from such turn away. You didn't bring anything into the world, you're not going to take anything out of the world. But folks, if you follow God, He'll give you all of it and give it to you on an eternal scale, an eternal basis. He'll give you all of it, health that you might enjoy. All right, you see the coals are dying out and everybody's ready to go. And as soon as we get ready, we're all going. Let's give them another hand. All right. I just say that as a reminder. Like the judge said the other day to Mike, some of the others, when he rebuked the lawyers. All right, I want you to stand with me. Remember what I've said. There is a blessing that comes from the world. There is a blessing that comes from God. We're all human beings as to the outer man, and we're all subject to vanities. All is vanity, vanity and vexation of the spirit. To the outer man, it's all vanity. We all run after the world, for the Bible said the Gentiles seek after all these things. Salvation is of the Jew. The Jew in years gone by was known just to go after the religious things of life. Especially in the days of Moses. That was a natural type of a Jew. Everything in the Old Testament's a natural type. But when the true Jew came, even the bride of Christ, then the shell fell away. But God will bring salvation to them as any other human being, for He's no respect of person. Here we are. We're all natural people, so far as our first birth. But inwardly, there is nothing less than the world of difference. There is a world of gods, a heavenly world of gods. And there is still this earthly habitation of those who love money and prosperity and eating and drinking and riding and seeing and sights and having the gullible desire of the flesh. There are still those that are temporal people that are going to pass away with the world. But there are those, I say again, that are eternal, that are spiritual heavenly beings that dwell in these bodies of clay. They don't think naturally. They don't act naturally. Their conversation is in heaven. Their desire is in heaven. Their works are in heaven. Their treasures are in heaven. Somebody would say, well, I know my treasure's in heaven because I don't have anything on earth. You don't have anything on earth because you're lazy and you've never tried to get anything. And you certainly don't have any treasure in heaven because you've never made anything on earth to give to the poor to lay up treasures in heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. And He said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? As I've said so many times, the Bible said, if it be a widow that is 60 years old, lived with one husband, not a half a dozen, not been from husband to husband, but lived soberly, faithfully to one husband that has washed the saints' feet, said, let them be chargeable to the church. Let the church relieve them that are widows indeed, for these are widows indeed. Said the others that are younger, let them, the Bible said, let them guide the house and let them marry and let them bear children. For the Bible said when they wax wanting, they'll sin against God. And said they learn to be idle and tale bearers and going from house to house, just aggravating and bothering people. Tale bearers. And the Bible said some of them have already done this. Some of them are already turned away, Paul said, even in his day. And they've learned to be idle and tale bearers. And they've already brought damnation to their soul because of it, he said. So then we're to work. We're to pray. We're to give. We're to lay up treasures in heaven. We're to share. We're to share. If you find a person that is making a genuine effort, a brother or a sister, they don't have to be a widow. If they're making a genuine effort, they deserve a helping hand. But if you find men and women that when there are things to be done on the home front and abroad that won't work, that won't share, that won't try to help anybody else, or just lounge around home and stay around home, and folks, hold on just for a few minutes, especially when grown-ups get out and take the kites away from the kids and run all over the grounds to fly kites while others are trying to dig and make a living. You love the Lord? It's bad, isn't it? Isn't that bad? Or somebody says, well, I never do that. Well, that's because you don't like flying kites. You do what you do like. So, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, it's something for a mother or dad to go out in the yard and be excited over the kid playing the kite. It might even hold it. You know, might even play with it a few minutes with the kid. But it's so bad when daddy and mother can't stand it and they take the kite away from the kid and all day long they're running around after the kite. That's bad. So let's do something for God. You say, well, I just can't. Why can't you? Say, well, I'm weak. Well, now's the time to say you're strong. The Bible said, say I'm strong in the power of His might. If you're weak, now's the time to make your confession of faith. Isn't it right? Somebody said, well, I just don't have that much money. Well, now's the time to make your confession of faith and you'll have more money. He said, I'll supply all of your needs. Somebody said, well, I just can't get by. You could if you make a confession of faith. Oh, somebody says, I'm a Christian, I believe. You couldn't believe. You couldn't believe. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And when the Word of God says something and you deny the Word of God in your deeds, how can you have faith in it? Your faith in the Word of God is shown by your deeds. The writer said, show me you're believing by what you do. Somebody said, well, I'm religious, Brother Pike, and I believe in God. But when it comes to my bathing suit and down at the beaches and come to the ball games and the different things I want to do, I don't see nothing wrong with it. The reason you don't see anything wrong with it is because you're of the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said the devil savors the things that be of the flesh, and those things are of the world, and you love the things that be of the world. That means that you are of the devil, and it means you're going to die. It means that you're of the world, and you're going to pass away. You're disputing, you're jealousy, you're lying, you're conniving, you're cheating, following after Naaman and the things of the world. It means you're going to die. It means that you're going to die. So then, what is right? The things that God has pleasure in. Whatever the Bible says, that's the way it is. All right, let's sing a chorus together. Started to say something, but I guess I might not say that. It might reflect somebody. Glad for you to be here tonight. I trust that everything is well with you. I trust that the Lord has blessed you and that He's renewed your life and your strength in God. For every day He wants to do that. Every day you should go to God and renew your covenant with the Lord, renew your strength in God, and renew your spiritual experience with God. Go to God and renew your covenant. Like the songwriter says, how long has it been? How long since you stayed on your knees and prayed till the light broke through? How long has it been? How long, my friend? How long have you stayed, really genuinely stayed and prayed until the light broke through? Oh, someone would say, but I prayed, Brother Pike. Did you pray long enough to get all of that weight out of the way, all of that feeling out of the way, all of that blockage out of the way, until all of a sudden it felt like that you was under the shower of God? And you said, oh, glory to God. And you felt it as it dropped down on you. You know, the Bible said as Peter spoke to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. When I said those words, I felt the Holy Ghost fall on some of you. How long has it been since you exercised your faith until you felt that where He fell upon you? And you said, oh, my God, my nerves are relieved, the pressure on my head. My faith leaped up and I just feel like He still loves me. He's still with me. Courage and strength. Folks, that's what you got to have to make it through the day. To pull up to a service station is not sufficient to make the trip. You got to put something in the tank. And that takes a little effort, especially when it's self-service. While you're standing with your hands lifted, your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Gilbert Kerr, if he will, to come down. Pray the closing prayer. Today, I'll tell you this right hurriedly while we're meditating a few minutes. Today, I was discussing with my wife our trip and, of course, going into China and the different places. And all of a sudden, there came a Chinese man with his daughter. He came out on the grounds. I met him and talked with him, a very fine fellow. He talked with Brother Steve and some of the others. Named Lewis, or he took that on as an American name, I suppose. But he's been into China several times. His mother, daddy there, and I think he said his mother maybe is a 90-year-old woman. And he just wanted to be our interpreter. He wanted to go over with us. He wanted to take me by his home. And he's planning to come into this area. Talks like he's liable to come to the church or make it his church home. I don't know whether he's a poor man or a wealthy man. Brother Taylor said he seems to be a wealthy man, having maybe a number of Chinese restaurants. I don't know. But I just thought it was something today, how that he dropped in right at this particular time, having had a couple of visions of being in China, and then all of a sudden, here comes a man. He says, I'll recommend you there. I'll send a recommendation even if I don't go. And I thought how wonderful it is, the way that God works things, when he tells you to go somewhere, or he wants you to go somewhere. And he's just a fine gentleman all the way around, just a fine fella. You pray for our trip. God is good. Isn't God good? Somebody says, well, I don't know how you're going to do that. Easy. In him, it's so easy because I haven't strained a muscle. He did it all at Calvary. He did it all. He said he would give me the desire of my heart. And my heart's desire is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as much as lieth within me. And I told Jesus that years ago, I said, Lord, I can't get overseas. I'm a poor boy and I don't peddle candy into different things. You'll have to make a way for me. I believe you want me to go, and I'm going to set my faith to believe for what I need in going over. And we've went many times and took numbers of people with us. I was just thinking, Brother Larry Bullard and his wife just gave us a tanker. I wanted a tank, a water tank for our fire department. And he gave us a big old tanker. Went off and bought it and brought it back. And Brother Denny and his wife just give $1,000 to the work of the Lord just in the last day or two. And you know, and here and there and over yonder and whatever and whenever. We got a letter from one of our black brothers. I believe he's in the Navy or the Army or something. And he sends us an offering. In the Army or the Navy, but he hasn't forgotten Little Bethlehem nor this stride of life that we have here as a brotherhood in trying to reach the world with the gospel. Jesus, always doing something. God will supply all of your needs, physically, financially, whatever it might be, if you'll use your faith. If you'll use your faith. I watched my son-in-law Dale come down, didn't have nothing to make the move on or the change on. And I talked to him and I said, you know, you move with the Lord, you believe the Lord, he'll meet your needs. He'll meet your needs. And I watched God miraculously, in a miraculous way, the way he worked it, just open up, I don't know, $8,000 or $10,000 to him, just like that. And even the banker, the Lord even put the banker as to some part of the money. Put him in Dale's hand after a conversation and would let him have thousands of dollars right now. A number of thousands of dollars. He hasn't took any of it yet. But, you know, God does it. When you walk with the Lord and you trust God and you believe God, you can't lose for winning. You can't lose for winning. Oh, somebody said, well, just don't worry about it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to count how many fish you've got and how many loaves. Just pray and believe God, and you can keep on breaking them little fish and breaking them little fish. I believe Gary believes that. I could tell the reaction. Gary, you can keep on breaking. How long have you been breaking them, Brother Gary? Still got fish left. I've been breaking my little old fish for so many years. And, you know, folks would think I had a whale. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. They really believe I have got a whale. Somebody says, boy, he just got money piled up out yonder. But it's just my little old fish. That's all it is. All right. While we're standing here together, Jesus loves you. He wants to help you. Brother Gilbert's going to get on to me. I'll be done for God. He's standing up here and then he'll get me sure enough. So I better let him come over here and pray with you. But don't forget the services. Don't forget tomorrow's a work day. We got some things we need to do. And I'm looking for you to come and help.